Okay, and thank you very much, everyone, for coming along today. My name's David McGilvery, and I work in the School of Media, Culture and Society here at the University of the West of Scotland. I think there will be some stragglers coming along, because it does appear that there is a... Well, we know there's a learning and teaching conference happening in the university today, and I think probably quite a few of you have already registered for that conference and can go along if you wish, because I think I saw some people coming in with bags, which is good. There may be better bags than we've given you this morning. But yeah, if you find that the event today isn't giving you enough engagement, then maybe you can also head along to some sessions. The Learning and Teaching Conference Act does go until the end of the day, so if when you finish here today you want to head into a couple of sessions, then you can see how we do learning and teaching in higher education environments. So today, you'll see up here the hashtag. So again, I'm very keen, and we'll talk about that as I go through the kind of little welcome and then a little opening session. Very keen that people engage and that we try and engage some people outside of the room. That's part of the ethos of today's event, that we kind of get people to kind of be sharing information right about these issues, because I think there are some important and pertinent issues for us to discuss. So please use digital UWS if you wish to share some content. And that can be content not just about what's happening here today, but other things you're aware of or doing your everyday lives or jobs that we can get to discuss. So I'm just going to do a little opener. We've got great speakers here today that are at a much better place than myself to talk about some of the key issues here in education, particularly in school education. But I'm just going to kind of try and set up some of the kind of issues I think we might cover today. So a little bit about why. I've been wanting to do this event, this specific event, for some time actually, because I ran a couple of projects which some of the people in the room are aware of. One was called Citizen Relay, which was in 2012, where we kind of used everyday digital media and devices to try and encourage people to actually produce media content around about the Olympic torch, really, when it came to Scotland. That was kind of a really powerful kind of project that got lots of people involved that were sharing content, again, without having any expertise in how to do so. So these weren't formal media producers. So that event was then followed by another project I ran called Digital Commonwealth, which is just finished. And again, it was about supporting communities in most need to, again, develop some digital media skills, which, again, they could use to represent themselves more effectively. We used the context of the Commonwealth Games in that project. But out of the project, I guess, was lots of learning. So we had a schools programme that was part of that project. And again, we went into 23 local authorities with about nearly 600 learners involved in that project. And as we kind of experienced school environments, we came across really interesting challenges, some really interesting opportunities and possibilities in terms of how digital and social media were or were not being used within those spaces, some of the impediments, but also some of the real creativity that we saw from people in terms of what they were doing. That's teachers, pupils, involving parents, and lots of other sorts of really quite exciting and innovative practice. So from that project, I guess I became intrigued by how schools deal with some of these issues. I use the term affordances of digital and social media, what they permit, what they enable, what possibilities they enable, and also what impact that has on learning, and learning inside the school environment, but also learning outside the school environment. And I'll talk a little bit as we go through about some of the kind of issues I think that brings forward. Also, in the experience of running those projects, we kind of interacted with learners, teachers, and also parent groups. And I guess in terms of how people, we kind of presume sometimes when we use terms like digital native and those kind of terms that people are, and young people in particular, are very confident users of technology, very confident users of digital spaces. But again, I think a lot of the literature is now suggesting that actually there's some quite unevenness in that, and that actually people don't all have the same experience. They don't all come from the same place. They don't all have the same equipment. They don't all have the same capitals, if you like, to help them navigate their way through some of the challenges of the digital world. So again, that was a reason why I wanted to hold the event today as well, to kind of hear from people who are involved in delivering or have experience of delivering in schools, how they navigate that and how they deal with those situations for their young people, but also for themselves. And also, I wanted to try and bring people who had leadership responsibilities or are informing policy in the education sector, as well as people who are practicing, who are doing it on a daily basis. You know, and so here we have some teachers here today. We have people from Education Scotland, one of the main policy bodies. And again, we've got lots of people who are going to be talking about some of their practices. Now, those that are not talking today will also have practices and things they want to share with us. And that's what I would like to encourage through, whether it's the interactions via Twitter, or whether it's in the discussion groups that are happening in the afternoon. So if you're not speaking, don't worry, there's lots where you can, we can make some contributions. And I think partly as someone who's interested in research, there are, I think, a number of possibilities for research that emerge from the way that schools are or are not interacting with digital media. So not going to go through all this, but just what we're trying to cover. So there's two main things. Really, the first morning session that we're in today is about policy and leadership broadly, and getting perspectives from Education Scotland, from teachers, from organisations that are about young people, so Young Scot, and impacts on young people and on education sectors. And then in the afternoon, we're going to be showcasing some practices that, that teachers and others inside and outside of education, but working with young people, have been involved in. And I'll definitely not go through all the research questions. So what I thought, when I was thinking about what I was going to do at the event, I thought, well, actually, I have an 11-year-old son. And an 11-year-old son who is kind of an exemplar of, no doubt, some of the issues that you have when we think about digital media. And as a parent, but also as someone who's interested in education and someone who's interested in his son's education and what he experiences at school, for example. So I just thought a personal anecdote. So you can read the slide. I don't need to go through each of those. But, you know, the pressure. So he wanted a phone because he sees everyone using the phone at home. He sees his family using the phone. He sees his cousins using phones. So he wanted a phone. So, yeah, we vowed, we got the phone. And then the kind of prevalent platform that he was experiencing in his peer group was Instagram. Okay, so many of you probably have an Instagram account and you can share this via Instagram. Of course, once he has it, he's working out how to use it. He's saying, actually, I need followers. That's clearly, I need people who follow and I need the people to like it, because that's the currency. That's what makes it worthwhile. So again, we kind of chat about that and how you might do that, what you might think about his identity, how you might want to do anything. Would you post a photograph? Is he just gonna be watching and thinking about what other people are doing? And then he joins a group, because that's again the group that schools say, well, you should join this group. We've created a group for ourselves, not through the education system at all. He joins the group, and in joining the group, he suddenly has a proliferation of interactions. So he has likes, he has notifications coming through our eyes, and many of those in a period. So we get, you know, there's a concern, it's a bit distracting, is this what we really want for our son? And then, of course, he says he's forgotten his maths homework, and he's able to get that through the group. He's able to share, and they're sharing a number of quite interesting things from that space. So I'm thinking, well, actually, then it's about learning, so we're, that's okay, because it's about learning, it's not just about entertainment, for example. But of course, in the policy context, he can, and his environment, can't take a device to school or use a device at school. And he hasn't had any experience in his education to date that really engages him with what the implications may be of the digital and social media. I think one on risk and e-safety, but not within a broader context yet. He's not really had that much experience. So all that learning is coming from home and perhaps maybe in not the learning that and that maybe he needs actually in that space. And the final one there, I guess, is that, you know, the point is that, you know, parents worry and people worry. They think this isn't what we maybe want. Or there's connectedness is good, engagement is good, but we're concerned about what that might lead to in terms of distraction and not being about learning. So I guess I think the parents with that anecdote for me tries to kind of contextualise the sorts of situations, and that's an 11-year-old boy. Obviously, that we can work this right through school age. And I guess for me, some of my own interests and some of the work I've done are about this kind of terrain, around about, well, what is it about the example I've just given that creates the issues? So, you know, Dana Boyd, who writes quite a lot about teenagers' use of social media, talks about the affordances of social media. And these four elements of what digital and social media mean and what they enable, what they make happen or what they make possible. And what that might mean for how we think about education is what we're going to try and cover today, but more broadly for young people. So the persistence of the expressions. So we've got people here today who are going to talk about the five rights and the kind of idea of the durability of those online expressions, that it's there. It's not just going away. So they're kind of quite like the idea of a digital residue. It's there, you can see it. And that brings forth a number of issues that no doubt education, we know that education authorities are dealing with, and others. The idea that actually there is an audience, there can be a large audience if something, as we know, goes viral. So the visibility of that is, again, something maybe quite different from the way that people were able to communicate and take ideas out or individual identities and interests out to a wider world. And we may not know what makes that viral kind of the visibility happen in particular situations. The way that you can spread content very easily. As we know today, we can spread content really quickly just from, you know, what I say, and if I say something that's not what I intended, then that can just go out, you know, and lots of things can be spread very quickly. And also the ability to find information, which I think is really interesting for the educational environment. So in a higher education setting, you know, you see lots of people sitting with laptops and computers and devices in the classroom. Real issues about how some staff deal with that and worry about that and about, well I'm the font of all knowledge. Why? What are they doing? Are they searching? Are they looking for entertainment while they're there? Or are they actually fact-checking? Are they finding... You know, so there's, again, a whole kind of nuance and of issues within there that I think we're interested in exploring and want to explore here today. But I kind of like Dana Boyd's idea that the use of social media is a kind of cultural mindset that's people feel quite comfortable with, and young people feel particularly comfortable with, and that's something we need to embrace and think about what that means going forward. And again, I just to put in context about where we might see two opposing ideas about what digital and social media might mean, then, you know, a couple of slides on, okay, a more libertarian, cyber libertarian kind of perspective about what, well, actually it's a good thing, because it's about sharing, it's about giving people the power to create rather than passively consume. And that's a good thing. Now, again, some of those hopes may not always be followed through on in terms of outcomes with some of the technologies or platforms or devices that we use that perhaps aren't able to be used as creatively as we might imagine. So there's quite a lot of literature around about some of that material. The idea that you can give power to people, that the device or the ability to share that without going through a particular route through an institution or other authority is also powerful. So these are positive opportunities. That actually lecturers or researchers or teachers, that in some ways there's an ability to actually to consider sources of knowledge and hold to account those that actually are believe themselves to have the font of all knowledge. So you can find things, you can challenge things, you can test things. And is that what we want of our young people? We may hope so. And David Gauntlett, who's got a really interesting book called Making is Connecting, talks about this. The idea that for education that you have a shift away from and obviously this doesn't take place, I'm sure, in any of the educational settings, that you're in the sit back and be told culture towards the making and doing culture. And again, that shift in pedagogy and that practice is obviously something interesting to lots of educators who I'm sure are here today. But, and I guess it's we ought to always think about where those promises may not necessarily follow through. That actually there are some maybe slightly more negative thought processes we need to think about and build into the way we think about education. So the idea that social media is not collectively owned, in the sense that, you know, many of the organisations and platforms and channels that we use are owned by companies who have a profit motive, that, you know, a profit imperative built into them. So are the young people, my son that we're talking about, aware of that? Does that matter to them, whether it's that? Do they want to generate a different platform? And I'm sure we'll hear today about some platforms and channels that people have created that are not corporately controlled deliberately to ensure that it's open, but are there any people there? Are there audiences there? Does it help people understand publishing and interacting and thinking about it? So there's a whole debate in there that could take the whole day about, okay, so they're owned by a private corporation, but that doesn't mean to say that what you can do with that platform might also be quite powerful and quite liberating. But we have to bear in mind that that's in place. And there's a lot of literature now coming out, I think, about this on a kind of critical social media studies. Also, you know, lots of the, if you, again, on that kind of corporate logic, lots of that, the labour is coming from us. You know, we are producing the content and we are sharing that often with no financial reward, for example. So there's kind of lots of debate about YouTube on that, kind of the model there in terms of the benefits for corporations too. And also the kind of marketing promotion use of social media as a perhaps rather than as a sharing collaborative kind of tool, and that's perhaps some people feel it's just another tool of broadcasting as opposed to an ability to share and interact. Now, I'm kind of said today I'd like you to interact and share. I'm not going to do anything with your tweets, I'm not going to commercialise those or do anything with them, but clearly there is a lot of broadcasting taking place with companies as they appropriate and incorporate social media into their business practices. And we need to recognise that, especially when we think about young people using these spaces. So again, yeah, Ritzer and Jurgensen trying to sum that up a little bit. And again, for me, I think one of the things that's really interesting is the differential, the idea of differential access and use of social media. And that could be about equipment, but that also could be other resources that are built into how education authorities interact with young people. And we need to bear those in mind when we think about just simply introducing digital by default and thinking that it's going to be a resolution for lots of issues. And there's a couple of slides I just want to put just to, before I finish on kind of some of the work that I've looked at in terms of digital social media in schools. And the first couple are about the idea that you kind of choose, that you're able to decide when to learn, what to learn about, perhaps without being in a fixed space like we have here today. So there's that degree of kind of choice, and that learning doesn't need to start or end in the lecture theatre, in the room that you have, in the classroom, and those kind of issues. Again, that's quite a positive way of thinking about the use of digital and social media in school environments. And this Horizon report for Europe in 2014, which is the school edition, is really quite interesting, I think, around about some of the trends around Europe on digital and social media use and some of the kind of impacts on teachers, on learners, and also about where learning takes place, some of the spaces. So obviously they talk about the impact of ICT, they talk about the impact on teachers' roles, but they also talk about the kind of platforms that are kind of not invading the school, but are being used within classrooms and outside of classrooms. And I know we're going to have some people talking about the kind of professional communities of practice and learning communities. And again, you know, just as someone who kind of follows things on social media, you see lots of those. I mean, I know maybe Malcolm will talk about that later, a lot of proliferation of spaces where you can learn stuff about what's going on in there, and same in higher education. And that can be really great because you're limited. You know, we're based in Paisley. I can be based anywhere in terms of the discussions that I'm involved in rather than thinking of I'm based here at Paisley at the University of Western Scotland. So you can become part of a professional community that's really quite beneficial, I think, for educators. But also, they can sort of conclude that need for room for leadership, especially in kind of those projects in the use of social media for education, which again, I think, hopefully we can look at where that's coming from today and who's actually doing that already. And this idea of mobility and the idea of the mobile, both in terms of the device but also the space, is something that's clearly shaping it. And the idea again that where do you switch your device off? We in the university we didn't used to allow devices to be taken in to be used very easily, and you know, and that's completely transformed now. And essentially, most students are using their own device on campus, and the infrastructure is enabled to make that happen, not the other way around. The gatekeeper saying you're not allowed to use it because we feel there's a problem or a risk, and that's been again really productive for the way that universities I think have operated. And secondly, just finally, the idea that there are legitimate risks and concerns over these issues. And again, we're going to hear a little bit about that in some of the presentations to come. There are worries, and we experienced this with some of our projects that we did in schools. There are worries, quite rightly, about they get the time to develop the competencies and skills to be able to then embed within education. And again, I would say that for schools and for higher education. Issues about the infrastructures. I mean, we hopefully are able to get on Wi-Fi here today, but you know, it's not easy often in these kind of institutions to enable that, to make that a free-flowing kind of process where we expect to be able just to use the infrastructure to be there to enable us to do the things we want to do creatively. As mentioned, digital leadership, but also the kind of this idea that actually not everyone does it in the same way, not everyone has the same experience, not everyone has the same resources in the broadest sense. And I think Billy et al. Summed that up really well around about the kind of the idea that perhaps where you come from, the kind of experience you've had, parental use, parental availability of resources. My example, my son, he can do that. He has a device, he can do it. We're talking about how we manage the device as opposed to whether he has such a thing and knows how to use it, and we have quite fast broadband, so he can interact and do that quite easily. But not everyone can. I think we need to recognise that. And clearly that's an issue for how you build an education if people don't have that availability. And I guess a final thought for the day, or a thought for the day at least, is this, in terms of, I think it sort of deals with some of the issues that I hope we discuss and go through as we cover the presentations this morning and in discussion in the afternoon. I should have said at the beginning, we have a colleague at the back, Fraser, who's filming the day, He's not filming all the presentations, and we're not going to have them all for an hour and a half on a video. He's just got some snippets of the day. We also have Sonia Hallett, who will be around. She's here in the room, who's an illustrator, who's going to be illustrating. And it's sort of she'll be doodling around all day, capturing elements of what she feels comes out of the day. And again, we will have that digitised, and we'll share that with everyone at the end. It's just a slightly different way of capturing the event as it happens. Before I move on to the first other speaker, we also have a little bit of housekeeping. There isn't a fire alarm today, but due today. If there is a fire alarm goes off, then we go down to the ground floor again, and the reception, the room that we're at, and then we'll take you out to the other areas. And I'll just see if there's anything else I need to say around about that. No, so what we're going to do now, or what I'm going to do now, is step aside and